Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I'm Avi Strasberg. I am excited to be doing some learning with you this morning and this week on Pirkei Avot. So this is now our third session together, which feels incredible that we're really moving through the weeks between Pesach and Shavuot. We are on the third chapter of Pirkei Avot, and we are going to just go ahead and dive in and get started. I want to honor your time, and I'm excited for the 30 minutes that we have together. So this week we're jumping into, we're really going to be focusing on the seventh Mishnah of the third chapter. So you see, if you're in the screen sharing mode, there's a link in the chat to the document, but if you want to open it in your own Google Docs, or we're in screen sharing mode, so you can see. So we're actually, this first Mishnah that's on the screen right now is the sixth Mishnah. We're just going to scroll down a little bit to the seventh Mishnah. I'm excited to look at this Mishnah together. Here we go, starting with Rabbi Elazar. There you go. I'm excited to look at this Mishnah together because it's a Mishnah that has always troubled me, that every time I learn this Mishnah or teach this Mishnah, I feel troubled by it. And I'm hoping, I'm curious to see if you're troubled by it, and I'm curious to see if some of the sources that we're going to read with it will at least offer us a bit of a window or a different understanding into it. So we are on the seventh Mishnah of the third parak, starting with Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tota. And that's where we're going to go and get started. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tota Omer. So Rabbi Elazar, who was from the place Bar Tota, he would say, Ten lo mishalo, she'ata v'shalcha shalo. So give to him, meaning give to God, that which is his. I'm just to be clear, I apologize for the male pronouns here. I'm using them because the shelo and lo are so gendered, I can't avoid them. But in general, I do try to avoid that gendered God language. So ten lo mi shelo, so give to God that which is God. She'ata v'shalcha shelo, because really you and that which is yours are God's, to begin with. Which is to say, everything that you think, there's a sense, especially when we're talking about money, there's a sense in which it's hard to part with that which is ours, with the money that we feel that we've earned or the possessions we feel that we've acquired, whether it's for the sake of tithing or for tzedakah or temple sacrifices, any of those things. And what this text is teaching us is really there's nothing in the world that is ours, that everything that we think that is ours, everything that we feel possessive over, it's actually not ours in the first place. It belongs to someone else, and it really belongs to God. And so when we're giving to God, when we're giving to tzedakah, we're actually just giving that back, that which was never really ours in the first place. So then it's going to go on to say, V'chen b'David hu amer, and referring to David, the text would say from Divrei Yamim, from the Book of Chronicles, that from everything comes from you, and from your own hand we have given you. So just really the perfect pasuk to encapsulate that it's that there's nothing that is really ours, it is all God's. And so when we give to God, we're just giving back that which God has already given us. Rabbi Shimon would say, Hamalech bederech v'shoneh, the one who's walking on the road and is learning. There you see the word shoneh. This is connected to the same root that you recognize from the word Mishnah. So Mishnah is really coming from that word that is both repeating to be going over your studies or to be learning your studies. So the one who is walking on the road and is learning, umafsik me mishnato ve'omer, and the one who pauses in their learning, the mishnato, it's cool to see the right there, the shoneh and the mishnato, the one who pauses from their learning and says, mana e ilan ze, umana e ze. The one who, I think we're missing the word near there perhaps, but the one who pauses from their learning to say, how lovely is this tree? How lovely is this field? Ma'ale alav hakatuv ke'ilu mitchayeb b'nasho. The one who is in the middle of learning, walking on the path, what a sweet image, is holding like a book of Mishnah, learning in their hand, going over their studies, and stops because they're stunned by a beautiful tree or by a beautiful field, and stops to comment on that and says, how beautiful is this tree? How beautiful is this field? The text, the Torah, talks about this person as if they are liable for their life. So I have to say, whenever I previously, until this moment when I was preparing for this class, whenever I've encountered this, I feel very torn with this particular passage. I'll say that my sort of major foray into Jewish learning, like that my entry point into it, I did a 3-month program called Adama in Northwest Connecticut. That was about the integration. We were living on a farm and it was about the integration of sustainability, environmentalism and Torah. And it was all sort of one. And so the idea, so for me, and I think for many other people, that it's actually, we specifically find God and we find God's beauty and grandeur in nature, that it's in stopping to look at the tree, that that is a moment of coming closer to God. And so for me, I've always found it a little bit surprising and troubling that the one who is learning, who pauses to comment on the beauty of nature, that not only is this problematic, but actually it's something for which you could be libel your life. It says, you know, it, not that you actually are, but you're like libel. So I'm curious to actually, before we go on, I actually want to open for a minute to see if anyone has any responses. When you've learned this Mishnah before, how you understand this, if you found this troubling, if it resonates with you, if you're like, yes, that makes sense. And part of what I see here is it's a pulling of two priorities, the priority of learning Torah and the priority of being sort of one and integrated in your surroundings, of seeing the trees around you. When you read this Mishnah, what comes up for you? Does it seem surprising, troubling? Does it make sense for you? So we'll let a few people, you have the ability to unmute yourself. So feel free to unmute and make a comment. So Judith says, I do find it troubling.
Yeah, I think I do find it troubling because when you're looking at nature, you, like you said, you're looking, thinking about God and what God has done. And that's also Torah. In a mm-hmm. sense. And I don't agree, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that because I think that you're acknowledging, you know, what God has done. And I think especially now when people want to, when they look at nature, they see that everything is right. That one, at least one part of the world, everything is right. Even if it's not right in themselves, it's like, okay, well, it's not right here, but spring is still happening, weather's changing, beautiful trees, beautiful things. It's like something is right in the world.
Great. Okay, I'm with you, Judith. Okay, so Rachel says, you're making an inappropriate separation between Torah and nature. I understand it intellectually. I think it's a lection. Rachel, do you want to say more about what you mean by that comment?
Yeah, I think that it is very easy when I'm learning to separate learning out from the rest of my life. And I work really hard to get the ethical lessons that come from, you know, Jewish learning and how to live my life in relationships. And nature sometimes doesn't come in very naturally to that, that nature speaks to the heart and not to the mind. And that, you know, is the opposite of the Shema, isn't it? So I think it's not natural to include nature in Torah learning all the time necessarily. And it's a good lesson to say everything is the same. It's all one.
And you see this text is saying that it's all one?
Yes, that's what I think, that nature is part of Torah learning, and to stop and to look at nature, it's as if you're dividing up between what you're learning in the text and what you see around you.
That's very interesting. So you're saying the act of stopping to look at nature, it's as if you are the one that is making the separation. You are the one that is dividing in the moment by turning your attention from one to another.
Right. There's God learning and then there's nature in some way that refutes the oneness of it all.
Very interesting. Okay. So great. I appreciate those two comments. I want to, with that, with just a little bit of taste of your responses, I want to go on and now look at a few responses, some of the commentators. So we'll actually scroll down past the Pirkei Avot. And let's first start, but we're going to look at possibly up to 3 different commentaries on this to see if it helps us understand this. So the first one comes from our favorite, the Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lo ben Betzalel. He's in the 16th century in Prague. So his commentary that we've been following for the past couple of weeks on Pirkei Avot is called Derech Chaim. It's a pretty, I'm finding, very rich commentary. So we'll see what he says here about this. Again, I'm sorry, you're going to have to trust my translation for you here. So HaMahalech B'Derech, the one who's walking on the way. Sider HaMishnah HaZot B'Kan, so the Mishnah organized this particular Mishnah in this order. Ki B'Pnei Shamar Lifnei Zeh Shashem Yitbarach Im HaAdam Kasher Hu Shoneh. So in the previous Mishnah, so in order to even answer the question of why this Mishnah is here, so the Maharal is going to say, we can only understand what this Mishnah means, Ma'alech Bederech, by looking at the top of the source sheet, the very first Mishnah on the source sheet, which is a Mishnah that's saying, here we go, that when we're going through all the different moments that when we are learning Torah, God is with us. So this is a beautiful text that you might be familiar with, but it starts off by saying, how do we know that when 10 people are learning together that Shekhinah is with them? And then we quote a verse from Psalms that God is with them in the community of 10, and Eidah is obviously 10. And it goes on to say, and how do we know that only 5 people are learning together that God is with them? Well, it goes on to quote a book from something from Judges. The proof text is not so important. How do we know that 3, obviously the proof text is very important, but not for our purposes at this exact moment. How do we know that when 3 people are learning together, that even then God is with them, we have a proof text. How do we know that even when only 2 people are learning, that God is with them, we have a proof text. And how do we know if even only 1 person, that when that 1 person is learning Torah, that God is with them? And ultimately says, any place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come upon you and I will bless you in the singular. So it's a beautiful Mishnah that really walks us to, when there's 10 people learning together, God is there. And I might think only in these large groups, when people are learning together, God's presence is there. And that would be amazing enough, but it's not only in the groups of 10, even in groups of 5, even in 3, even in 2, even when I'm just learning by myself, God is with me. Okay. So that is the Mishnah that comes just before our Mishnah. Okay. Now we're going to scroll back down to the Maharal to see why the Maharal thinks that that is important to helping us understand. So the Maharal says, why is it here? Because before that, it just said that God is with a person when a person is learning. And then the beginning of our Mishnah that we just read that said, give to God that which is God's, because it's all really God's, that came, as we just explained. The Amar legodel hachibor shashema yitborach im adam hashoneh. The sort of the great wisdom that these are all connected and woven together, that it says that a person, that God is with a person when a person is learning. Haholech bederech yechidi b'shone u'mafsik me'mishnato ve'amar ma na'e nir zeh u'ma na'e ilan zeh. So then it goes on to quote our Mishnah. And so the person who is walking alone and is learning and stops from his learning and says, what a lovely tree, what a lovely field. Kilomar, this is now he's going to say what it means. This is his interpretation. Kilomar shekasher hu poresh min haTorah hu poresh memishehu imo kasher hu shoneh. So when the person separates from the Torah, when the person separates, mafsich, separates from his learning, it's like it's as if he separates from the person who is with him when he is learning. So this is like the real revelation here that I think is so powerful. He's saying the previous Mishnah was just saying anytime someone is learning, God is with them. And so when a person is then learning on the path and takes a momentary pause of their learning to comment on the tree, it's as if the person is then taking a pause and separating, pulling themselves apart from the person who's with them when they were learning. And who is the person that is with us when we're learning? It is none other than God. So it's not just like for me, oftentimes I either forget that God is with me when I'm learning or I don't feel that presence as strongly. And so it's a choice between a book or a tree. Are my eyes focused on the book or are my eyes focused on the tree? And the Maharal is saying, that's not what it is. When you are learning, it is actually God is with you in that moment. And so when you pull aside your attention to comment on the beautiful tree, yes, it's a beautiful tree, but you've actually just abandoned God who is with you in your learning. So he goes on to say, Ki ha'adam shehu omed lifnei ha'melech u'medeber im ha'melech, when a person is with a king and is talking with the king, the over sham adam uposek umeladaber im ha'melech, umeladaber im acher, haray zeh poresh min ha'melech. And when the person walks by him, and the person who was walking, talking to the king, suddenly starts talking to another person, it's as if they are separating from the king. Shelo yertzeh liyotimo, because that's as if the person no longer wants to be with the king. V'dabar zeh hu neged ha'melech bevadai. And this is as if, and that action of turning aside to talk to someone else, of commenting on the tree, it is really going against the king. It shows that you are not invested in being with the king. And this is what this text is talking about. And for this reason, for this act of really when you take yourself away from your learning when you pause. It's as if you are separating from God. For this reason, the text speaks about this person as if they are liable for their life. Then it goes on to say something really beautiful. He says, V'lechacha Torah nikret chayecha ve'orach yemecha. And for this reason, the Torah is called your life, your sustenance, and the thing that sustains your life. Haparesh mina Torah hu mitneged elechayim. The person who separates from Torah is separating from life. V'hamitneged elechayim bevadai hu mitchayeb benafsho. And the person who separates from life surely is liable for their life. So it's going to go on to say, in what way, you know, I thought you're liable for your life in the sense of like, you've done a sin so great that it's as if God can come and take your life now. But what he's saying, it's actually something really straightforward, which is that if Torah is our life, if Torah is our sustenance, when you pause from Torah, you're separating yourself from the source of all life. And in that sense, you are ki'ilu mitchayev benafsho. You are as if you are liable with your life. And so then he goes on to say, and this is why it says that you are ki'ilu mitchayev benafsho. V'hainu hakatuv shemedaber b'misha shokheich davar mitalmudo, shegam sham pores min haTorah. And this is connected to the next Mishnah, which is also on the source sheet. We don't have to scroll up to see it, but you'll see just to see the connection of 6, 7, and 8. This is connected to the next Mishnah, Mishnah 8, that says the one who forgets a bit of their learning is also like separating, one who separates from the Torah. V'sham amar ketuv, yishamer lecha v'shmor nafshecha. And there, with regard to the eighth Mishnah that talks about how grievous a thing it is to forget their learning, it says, really guard yourself and take care of your life, lest you forget a bit of Torah, because forgetting a bit of Torah is also an act of separating a Torah. And anything that's separating from Torah, what the Maharal is saying is, it's an act of separation from God. It's a turning your attention aside. For me, I found this commentary particularly illuminating. So it's sort of coming from the sense of feeling surprised that the Mishnah would be so against me commenting on something beautiful in nature. I thought it was really powerful for the Mishnah to remind me the reason why it's so problematic to turn aside and comment on the tree. It's as if I never really thought God was with me in the first place when I'm learning. But if I really felt God's presence with me when I was learning, I would never just cut short the conversation with God to say, oh, hold on for a moment, let me comment on the tree. And perhaps this goes back to, was it Rachel that was saying this, that really that act of turning aside is actually the thing that's making the distinction of saying, hold on, God, let me look at this thing that's separate from you. Let me look at this tree. Whereas really, I think what she was suggesting is it's all one. I don't need to turn aside because it's all a part of that same conversation. So that's the Maharal there. The Baal Shem Tov is our next commentary below. I'll take a moment to let you respond. Let's see if there are responses to this text. I'm just going to check the chat. So Esther, are there any interpretations of later philosophers who saw God in everything, including nature? Yeah, definitely. Which I think, Esther, which is for me part of what feels so surprising, that I think that we do see, that feels also very Heschel, of seeing sort of God in the awe and in the wonder of everything. I think certainly Rabbi Arthur Green sees God in nature and sees God everywhere, which I think is sort of part of my theology and part of what I experience. So that's part of what felt surprising to it. But I guess it still sort of goes back to what I think the Maharal is saying, and part of what Rachel was saying is that part of that is that they're seeing that turning aside as being a moment of making a distinction, as though God is in this tree, but perhaps God is not in the book. But if God is in the book, then I shouldn't turn aside in the first place. I don't know. It's difficult, but I think that's part of what I struggle with this text about. So Judah says, so maybe we should all learn inside so we're not distracted. Yeah, the Gemara does talk about that. Ellen says, when we see something beautiful in nature, are we not to say a bracha? And Bill says, but then how can we ever stop or even pause for studying for any reason? That's very difficult. And you know, Bill, the Gemara talks about this. Like, this is a whole conversation. In Brachot, I think of like, if you're in Torah reading in shul and you need to leave, at what moment can you leave and can you take a pause? I think maybe perhaps that also speaks to like why when we're ending our Amidah, you have to have sort of the physical choreography to help mark and pull you out of the moment. I think in a way that is how I understand the choreography of taking the steps back at the end of the Amidah is acknowledging like something real was happening.
I was really with God and God was with me. And I can't just suddenly like stop talking and then the bubble bursts and the moment is over. And so on one hand, I think in the ideal, perhaps we would be in that intensity of the moment all the time, but obviously that's not, you know, we have other things to attend to. And so at least when we pause from that moment, there has to be a real coming out of it. And so I think part of what feels troubling in this text here with the author, is that it's like I'm learning and then suddenly I saw a pretty bird fly by and my attention stopped. As opposed to like, if I really believe that I was in an interaction with God, I need to, the separation, the pause needs to, it needs to be a real like ending, you know, in the way that you would separate from a king. You don't just like you don't just like walk away from the king. I think that's sort of what's problematic with them. Like G-chat and instant message is that the conversation is over and there's like sort of no formal goodbye. I think if you're going to end your study, there needs to be sort of the closing the book, the kissing the book, the marking the moment. Did I take something from my learning? And then you move on. You don't just allow yourself to be distracted by whatever nice thing comes by. Okay. Or if God is everywhere looking at a single tree while studying, it's comparable to seeing just one aspect and not Hashem in his full entity. Yeah, that's an interesting comment, Esther. Mm-hmm. Okay, amazing comments. Thank you. Let's go on and look at the Baal Shem Tov briefly. I think I'm mostly going to do this from the outside. Basically, the way he understands it is he says, okay, so if you want to jump down with me in the Hebrew, I'm going to look at about the fourth line. The shonet umavsik mimishnato. So the one who is learning and stops his learning, rotze lamar, what it means to say is, mavsik atzmo me'ashem yitbarach machd mishnato. The one who cuts himself off, that what is he mavsik from? It's not from his learning. He's taking a pause. He's cutting himself off from the Holy One as a result of his learning. What does this mean? Dehainu shebalo gadlut the hitpa'arut Machmach Mishnato, because he sort of comes to this arrogance, a sense of greatness and splendor as a result of his learning. Shesover Shehu Mishnato Shelo. He thinks that he is the sum entity, the sum total of his learning. The Omer Mana'e Ilan Zed. And he says, what a lovely tree this is. The Al Atzmo Omer Ken. And he's actually talking about himself. So this is the person that is so involved in their earned learning that they start thinking that like they are their learning and they are the greatness of their learning. And aren't I impressive in all of my learning? And you know, aren't I an incredible scholar? And it's actually as a result of their learning and the sort of arrogance and losing sight of what the learning is really about that they end up being mafsik, that they end up separating themselves from God. And when that person comments on what a lovely tree this is, they're actually commenting on themselves. The alatzmo American belibo, kemosha katu ki adam etz hasadeh. And it's as if they're saying in their heart that they are that tree, as it's written in the Torah that a person is a tree of the field. And then he goes on to say, and so it's as if he's talking about himself and saying, just as a person is a tree of the field, when he's commenting on the lily tree, he's commenting on himself and saying, what a lovely scholar I am. Let me take a pause from my learning just to be impressed with how much I've learned. And so then the other question that the Baal Shem Tov deals with is, what is the ketuv? When it says that the ketuv, it's as the text says he's liable for his life. What is the text that there's no text in the Torah that says someone who looks aside at a tree is liable for their life? What is the text? And so if you just look to the last line, he says, what is the text that they're talking about? The verse there is Tamim tia im Hashem Elokecha, that you should be whole with God, your God, forever, always. And the idea here is that the person who is mafsik mimishnato, the person who pauses from their learning, who separates themselves from God as a result of their learning because they're so full of their own hubris, this person is not tamim im Hashem. That person is not whole and complete with God. And so that is the text, that is the Torah that you're violating. And this is what they meant when it said the Torah that you will be, that the Torah regards you as, you know, being against the Torah, because this includes all of the Torah, and it is as if you will be liable in your life. So I just thought this was sort of a revelatory, very interesting reading on the person who says, how lovely is the tree, resting on the idea that a person is the tree of the field. And so when the person comments, they're actually commenting on themselves. Okay, last thing that I want to squeeze in, this is Midrash Shmuel on Avot. So an amazing commentary that's bringing together all sorts of other people's commentaries. So Midrash Shmuel brings together, this is comment of Rabbi Moshe Alechkar, which is 15th century Egypt. And he says, what does it mean, the person who pauses their learning to say, how wonderful is this tree? Hishmi anu, it's teaching us. Afilu sheyitasek b'davar, sheyishbo katzak mitzvah, shekach amru, our rabbis, their memory be a blessing. So even who for a person who is engaging in a bit of a mitzvah, as our rabbis would say, hayotzemi amei nisan, beore ilanot tovot omer, baruch shekach alo ba'almo, the person who goes out in the days of Nisan and sees the flowering, blossoming trees should say, blessed is the one that it's thus in their world. Im kol zeh, im hifsik me mishnato, but even so, if a person is doing this mitzvah that it says, the rabbi said to do, you should bless the flowering trees. Even so, if a person does that and it interrupts their learning to do it, it is if they are chayav, they are liable to their life. Why? Because learning Torah balances against all of the other mitzvot. So to pause in your, there's no need to pause in your learning to bless on the flowering trees, because limud Torah is really the greatest mitzvah of all the mitzvot, and it balances out all these other mitzvot. So I think, Ellen, this goes to your comment, which was to say, but aren't we supposed to pause and appreciate the wonder and the nature and even bless on it? And what I loved about this is this rabbi is at least sort of acknowledging the complexity of, yes, you are. You are supposed to bless on it. We are supposed to see God in nature. We are supposed to, when really this person, when they are, they're not doing something, there's a sense in which they're not doing something so wrong. That's what's troubling about the Mishnah, right? You're supposed to appreciate the beauty in God's world, especially if you're then turning it back to God. And he's saying, even so that you're doing a bit of a mitzvah, you're still pausing a greater mitzvah to do the smaller thing. And really, it's all one, that you shouldn't take yourself away from the Limud Torah to do this other thing. And so I just appreciated that this was sort of acknowledging the complexity of it. It's not that this person is such a bad person or so neglectful to their studies. They are engaged in the act of appreciating God's beauty, but you were involved in something else. You were, do the thing that you were involved in. You were doing Limud Torah. Don't let yourself be distracted. Do the Limud Torah. Stay involved with the thing you're involved in. So that's our Torah there for today. And my blessing and my hope for us, and it's a really lofty and big hope, is that we can feel the teaching of that sixth Mishnah, that the very first one on the page, that when we are engaged in the act of learning, that we don't feel like it's just us and a book, or we don't feel like it's just us and some small square faces on a Zoom chat room. But what if we really felt like God was with us? What if we really felt God's presence so deeply that to take that pause, it would feel as if we were separating ourselves from God? And so that's my blessing, that our learning can, that we can really feel God with us in that way. Okay, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll be diving into the fourth parak of Pirkei Avot. Have a great morning. Have a great week. Shavua Tov.